Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show with the Space Nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on IROC Space Radio. We're talking about solar flares and our dependence on technology and how quickly it has changed. And kind of in the background, everyone here is playing with ChatGPT and asking it silly questions, which you remember the days of Ask Jeeves? Do you guys remember that? Yeah. This is what it feels like. It feels like Ask Jeeves all over again, because if there are children listening, come with us on this journey of when search engines became a thing. And the really first big one was Ask Jeeves. And the concept was like this butler, and you would ask him any question and he could tell you any answer. And it was incredible. And I know that sounds really silly because most, I don't know, probably under 30-year-olds have no concept of a life of a world without Google, but there used to be an internet. There used to be also like social media where if you wanted to learn something about somebody, you had to consciously make a choice to go to their page to find information. You could not, things were not curated for you. There weren't, so much has changed. Anyway, so ChatGPT, it kind of feels like Ask Jeeves all over again, where you're just like, what kind of stupid thing can I ask it now? And I think that's what a lot of people are doing, except they're doing it in this like apocalyptic way where they're like, what would you do if you could recognize yourself? And, you know, it's kind of funny to me because I didn't do any questions relating to that, but I did ask it very ethical based kind of questions, and it kept giving me the same sort of curated responses. So it does not have the ability to really deviate from its programming. So fear not. So solar flares can really mess stuff up. And yesterday we had an ice storm and it coated all the trees, and we had a ton of trees go down, which took out a lot of power. I actually have someone who lives just a few blocks from me who is asking for a generator, I saw on social media, because they're still out of power. It's been well over 24 hours. And it's funny how very dependent we are, and all it takes is an ice storm to show how dependent we are. One of the major streets by my neighborhood, the stoplights, I don't know what you call them in Australia, stopping
traffic lights.
Traffic lights, the lights are out. And so now they have a generator hooked up to the power, like the power box with it running the lights, because it's such a big intersection. It's really not safe to not have the lights going. Like, it's one of those ones where there's just so many lanes, and to use it as a four-way stop is like chaos. So it's funny though, right? Like, it took was an ice storm to knock out one intersection, and you can have just chaos with navigating traffic. So then think about, you know, I'm thinking about hackers, and there's been so many stories of hackers who hack hospital databases and hold basically those computers at ransom when the workers need access to the medical information and they can't get it. And they have, like, it's terrible, but it just shows how deeply interdependent we are on having access to information at the touch of our fingers, which is a huge revolution and just a huge shift in both societal behavior and society mindset from just a generation before us. I mean, it really is. It's shocking. I was watching a movie. Sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead. I was watching a movie from the 80s with my kids, and no one has a cell phone. And it kind of occurred to me, like, you're watching it and, like, you know, nobody has a cell phone. think about like, I'm going to go to a thing and not have a phone with me. Like, what a weird concept now.
There's a thing that I feel like people in our community love to bring up, which is this idea that there are adults now who their entire lives, there has always been at least one human not living on the same planet as them, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have had people consistently in orbit on the International Space Station. And in the same way, right? Mm-hmm. In the same way, we have this kind of crazy dependence on technology that entire generation of people haven't even necessarily considered the implications of what life would be like without it. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, like looking at how dependent we are for our phones and our internet and our communication on satellites, mm-hmm. things in orbit, which would get very messed up by a solar storm, is definitely something that we need to consider. Also kind of in the context of what we were talking about on a previous episode about Kessler syndrome, right? About what would happen if, you know, satellites went down, that'd be bad. There was a huge event that, just to ramble on about this for 1 second more.
Yeah, no.
There was a huge event in the late 1850s called the Carrington event, which was this supposedly, like, in recorded history, it's like the biggest electromagnetic storm that was ever created by a solar flare. And supposedly, to answer like your question from before, Benjamin, like everybody on Earth could see aurorae, right? Again, this is like generated by the particles hitting our atmosphere and magnetosphere. So if that had happened today, and this is kind of what a lot of heliophysicists and stellar physicists are working on modeling and predicting. I have a friend who's working on a really cool machine learning project to try to predict these type of solar flares, these extreme Carrington events. It would knock out the power grid. It would just like wreak havoc on all of,
like the whole world.
All of the satellites. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of us. Which would not be fun.
No. Well, I, and like think that through too. So if everything got knocked out significantly, the amount of panic that would arise from people not knowing what is going on. And then you take into context like political climates and tensions and, you know, imagine that happening, a Carrington event happening after all these Chinese weather balloons, right? People would be like, oh my God, you know, freaking out. And the thing that sucks about humans, that's good, but it's bad, is that we're really good at jumping to conclusions in very bad case ways. Like that is how our brain evolutionarily is wired. It was good for us when, yeah, it was good for us once upon a time because, you know, you want to make sure that you're not seeing a moving bush and you don't mistake it for the wind when it's really a saber-toothed tiger. That's kind of the classic example, but we do that still in a modern context. It's a very protective mechanism of our evolutionary biology. And so if we had a Carrington event, I mean, it happens. Think about it, even from a relationship aspect, you don't hear from someone and they don't call you when you normally always hear from them at that time. You're like, they're dead. Or like you go to this, like, what if they got in a car accident? What if something bad happened? Blah, 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 right? So I it kind of makes me wonder, is there something being done? Are we doing something to prepare? I don't know. How do we prepare for the potential of losing our connectivity? Like how do we like figure out, like, how do we send out that like, don't panic messaging when the main form of messaging goes out?
I think it's a really good question. And it's a really important engineering problem and physics problem to improve the radiation resistivity of satellites, of things that we're putting in orbit. So I know that there's a lot of really great work being done at Stanford University's nanofabrication lab, where they have students working on building chips out of computer chips, right? Building mm-hmm. chips out of not potato chips, never potato chips, unfortunately.
Potato chips.
They don't build those at Stanford.
Wow.
And we're back in the toilet.
Full circle today, people.
Yeah, we're full circle of the drain. Mm-hmm. So it's they're working on chips for spacecraft that are going to be more that they can withstand much higher doses of radiation. Also, mm-hmm. at space missions, like the recent Artemis tests, we're testing radiation suits for humans and also for the capsule mm-hmm. itself mm-hmm. to be better protected using basically, you can honestly use water as a really good buffer against this sort of ionizing radiation. So like there are ways it's still an unsolved problem, but there are a lot of really good directions that science has been going in to solve this problem. If that makes sense, and it's slightly more optimistic.
Oh, that's good, though. I mean, like I said, it's concerning when you have, I mean, I know hackers isn't the same as a solar flare, but still the concept is sort of, the principle is kind of the same. Like, you know, when you have these institutions of people who are very vulnerable and everything goes pew, you know, that would be extremely concerning from a survivalist standpoint. By the way, have you been watching The Last of Us?
Yeah.
Nope.
Ah, oh, so good. Benjamin!
I gotta go scuba diving and watch this TV show now.
Well, but you're on ChatGPT, so tell us, what are you gonna do now that you've...
Hold on, you have to ask ChatGPT.
Well, I just signed up for ChatGPT about 30 minutes ago, and so far I'm not impressed at all. I remember since we talked about the early days of the dial-up internet, there was a I forgot the name of it. Someone wrote a program that was an automated psychiatrist that you could talk to and ask sorts of questions. And it was smart enough to pick out some nouns and some verbs and the things that you said, and it would restructure them in a question right back at you. And a lot of people thought, oh my God, this thing's incredible. But it's this mindless thing that's basically repeating what you said by saying, and how do you feel?
And it's echoing about back. Subject.
And so far, ChatGPT is really, it's combining that level of not intelligence with a kind of shitty Google search answer. I'm not impressed. So
yeah, I really
I've asked some incredible questions.
I really encourage anyone who is skeptical of it or fearful, I would even say, of it, just go try it. And, you know, you're probably going to get your fears soothed very quickly, as I did, because it's like, there's just, I feel like too, I'm like, you students, why would you? There are like key phrases that get repeated over and over and over. It says that, like, as an AI language model, and, you know, like, it just brings it up over and over. And then, I asked it to write some jokes for me, and it was terrible. They weren't good jokes at all.
As I had said, one thing it's really good for is writing computer code. And I was teaching a class in data science 2 days ago, and the very first in-class exercise that we give them, the students, to practice one particular technique, I see a student immediately open ChatGPT and ask ChatGPT how to write this piece of code.
Wow.
On day one.
Which is where, yes, that I would say there are the concerns to that. But anyway, the thing that's funny is that, to me, ultimately, and this is coming from a highly philosophical sort of standpoint, akin to like Carl, the fear is not in the technology. It is in the users and the people who are behind it, and the intent, and the coincidingly with the creators. We are only as a victim to the technologies we create as we are to the nature of our own being and ourselves. And so that therein is what frightens me more than anything else, because humans are notoriously unpredictable.
Did it frighten you more than blue diarrhea?
No, that's up there. That is up there.
It's down there, actually. Is that the high note? Or is that the low
note?
This
is about where we're going to wrap it up. No, I see. I have faith. God. I have faith.
Blue diarrhea is the high note.
Oh, God. You know that they can watch us now and they can see all this. The bosses that be are our producers and stuff on the show. Hi. It's us.
Hello.
We're the problem. It's us.
It's us.
Okay.
Hey, bosses, I know how you can tell if you had too much copper in your diet.
And if you weren't eating copper, then something really bad is going on and you probably should seek emergency help immediately and hope that a solar flare doesn't hit and knock out the power in the, you know, hospital databases. So. Okay. We are going to wrap this up. As a reminder, why did this episode go so fast? This was like ridiculously fast. We are all available on all the time wasters, as Kavi would say, on social media. Space K Sarah, Fun Fact Science, Science Actually Science, depending on your platform. iRockSpaceRadio.com is where you can find the station. You can find the other shows that are on the station. And you can find our, like, our news and weather and traffic reports on Mars. It's very fun. Yes, Kavi, in the middle.
And don't forget, if you're listening to our last episode and you heard the cool sonification that we played, it is not too late. Go onto our Facebook page, Instagram page, Twitter page.
Find a post somewhere.
Find a post and just
anything any of us posted about this show.
Yes.
That's it.
Let us know.
And just comment there. Let us know if you figured out what that sonification was, and we will send you some cool swag.
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 Not copper or any element that will give you any adverse reactions. Not reactions isn't, but you know what I'm saying. Yes. So this is the show. We hope you like it. We have a good time. Yep, it's a good time. So you have been listening to the Space K Sarah Show with the space nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio.